Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this special broadcast of Signs of Life, brought to you live from the beautiful Hilton Phoenix Airport Hotel in Phoenix, Arizona, by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight and the entire conference weekend is sponsored by Starseed Gems Studios, and they can be reached at starseedgems.com. Tonight's special guests are Lee Ashley, Tracy Bray, and Dave Campbell. And if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guests, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. Or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to everyone.
Well, hello. And as Fran mentioned, tonight is a special show. She mentioned our guests. Lee Ashley is a certified medium with Forever Family Foundation. Tracy Bray and Dave Campbell, in addition to being certified with Forever Family Foundation, are also research mediums with the Winbridge Institute. We're going to be talking about lots of things. We're going to focus on the medium's perspective on some of the questions that we're going to be addressing in the conference. And those questions are the five most asked questions that we get, which are: how do we know the spirit world exists? Can we visit the spirit world? Where is the spirit world? Can we communicate with the spirit world? And as mediums, I would think that your answers would be yes. And what's the spirit world like? I would add that although we have three excellent mediums here, tonight is a discussion show. If you have a question, you're welcome to call in, but medium readings are reserved for our mediums and messages show. So you have plenty of opportunity to call in during those shows, which are the third Thursday of every month. I guess a good place to get started, and I know that all of you that are practicing mediums here have heard it before, but we often hear a question: how come mediums never get information about what the afterlife is like? People say to us, well, you know, they give us evidence, but... you know, I want to know what it's like. How would, Tracy, how would you address that? Do people ever say to you, what's the afterlife like?
They do, and they also ask, what is my loved one doing right now, which kind of runs in tandem with the first question.
Yeah. And how do you answer it?
I mean, well, when I'm in a reading, I look at what that person is doing at the time, and I've seen tons of different things of what the afterlife is like. It's most of the time in the readings I do, it's quite like it is on Earth, minus conflict, tension, hatred, flipping that around, just love and understanding and compassion. So behavior seems to be quite different on the other side consistently.
Want to chime in on that, Lee?
Yes, it's really nice to be here and to be able to have the opportunity to talk with two of the foundation mediums, so thank you. I see some people, what's coming to mind right now is retaining their involvement and their interest in the things that they were passionate about while they were alive. So if, for example, there's someone who passed who was an advocate for homeless people, they'll sometimes be sending their energy and thoughts and supporting what they may have been involved with before. So I've come across that.
Do you ever get images of when somebody's conveying, somebody in spirit is conveying a thought to you, whether you feel it or see it or hear it or smell it or whatever? Do you ever get a feeling of the environment that they're in, or a picture of of the plane of existence that they're speaking from?
Not very often. More likely I'm shown where they were from, or their home, or their homeland.
Uh-huh.
It's more about their presence, the presence of their spirit. But I've never asked.
Yeah.
I've never said, well, or I've never tried to look around the corner. And I'm curious now. Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. How about you, Dave? Do you ever ask about
no,
it?
Usually, they say also it's here and now and what they're doing in the moment. Sometimes if I actually see a spirit in the room, I mean, it's just in the room. So, but to answer the other part of that is if you ask 100 different people what Earth is like to live on Earth and we were showing aliens, you're going to get 100 different perspectives. If you were poor, you're going to see poverty. If you were rich, you're going to see rich. I mean, if you're in a lush jungle, you're going to see a lush jungle. If you're in a city, you're going to... So it's just as varied, I think. And that's what I'm trying to say, it's very diverse. I've seen all kinds of scenarios when I ask, what is it like over there? And I'm like, well, it's like over here, only bigger.
All right. Well, the theory that I hear often is that since it's a world of thought, that people in spirit can manifest their own environment.
Mm-hmm.
So if they love their home and they want to duplicate their home on another plane of existence, they can. They want to wear clothes. They want to eat food. Is that something that how you picture these other realms where you can manifest? You can go where you want to go, and you can do what you want to do, and you can create what you want to create.
Well, I've certainly seen people, this is Tracy, that are that have been travelers here in this life, who when they pass, travel tons, and they do it very quickly, and whatever they want to do, wherever they want to go, they do it. But more often than not, I think I see people, again, with what Lee said, being with who they loved, doing what they love to do. That's how people pop up most of the time for me on the other side.
It certainly makes sense to me that people can instantly move to other realms of existence or in other parts of the afterlife. I mean, if we look at the evidence from near-death experiences, people often report that they could be several places at the same time. They could view their body while they're being resuscitated, and at the same time be 5,000 miles away at another location, observing something else. Is that similar to what you might term to be soul splitting? I mean, people use the term soul as a synonymous with consciousness often, or thought, but soul splitting to me is along the same lines, where you could be at different places at once. Well, let me ask you this, and I'll start with Dave. Sometimes people ask if they believe in reincarnation, and they say, well, does that mean if my loved one reincarnates that I'll never be able to communicate with them again?
That's a kind of a tricky question, too, because there is that time is irrelevant. If we're all simultaneously past, present, and future, then you can talk to them in a different dimension, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that, and then I've also thought about it myself, and sometimes I've said, well, no, they can't. So, that if they're back in the body, then that's why they're not getting a connection. So, I don't know what I really believe. I think time is, we're all existing at the same time, past, present, future. So, I don't know. That's a tricky one. I believe in reincarnation, too,
mm-hmm.
by the way. So,
what you're saying makes sense to me. And also, when I've, in the few times I've come across someone that feels like they've reincarnated, they just seem different. It's almost like they're still available to communicate, but they're like projections of their spirit. It's they just appear or feel differently to me.
Like a ghost, for want of a better word.
The spirit of their spirit.
Spirit of the spirit, an outline or a cast.
Yeah.
Tracy, you seem... you're in deep contemplation about this.
I am. There are several different things I've seen that I subscribe to soul fragmentation is what I call it. And the reason is that sometimes besides this very similar to Earth seen that I see. Sometimes I see people that have passed, older Catholic women, for example, that have been the ladies that have gone to Mass every day of their life. On the other side, I have seen them in something that looks more like what heaven looked like to me when I was a five-year-old in Sunday school, the cottony skies and the altar. And sometimes they're doing things, activities that would support some kind of religious activity. Like I've seen them doing fine needlework with gold threads or cooking food that just smells beyond anything I've ever smelled in a wonderful way. But it has a whole different look and feel to it than most of the other readings I do. And I tell people that when I'm asked the question about reincarnation, that with the soul fragmentation issue, my belief is that, and I always tell people I have no way to know that this is certain, but I think that when a soul, when a person passes a soul fragment, some of that can reincarnate now. Some of it can reincarnate. If you look at time in a linear fashion like we are here and now, some can reincarnate later. I think most of the soul, if you added it up into parts, that I don't have a glimpse at what the majority, where the majority of the soul is and what it is doing.
Kind of like parallel life.
Yes.
To parallel life, and that would be the same theory, I guess, if I'm living another life in a different realm of all the things I'm not doing now that I would like to be, maybe.
In this form, in our human bodies, it's hard for us to imagine the enormity
mm-hmm.
of who we are and what our soul is. I don't think we can conceive
no,
that.
No, I agree totally with that.
It's very hard for people to not think about time in a linear fashion. That the concept
mm-hmm.
is it's incomprehensible to some people. But that it's certainly when you start thinking that past, present, and future can happen all at once, it changes your point of view about a lot of things. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking a lot more about the unseen world from our guests, Lee Ashley, Tracy Bray, and Dave Campbell. So stay with us.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guests tonight are Lee Ashley, Tracy Bray, and Dave Campbell. Our sponsor for the entire conference weekend is Starseed Gems Studios, and they can be reached at starseedgems.com. Bob?
A question we get often asked is about why some people get a lot of communication and why some people don't. I always thought that it must be very difficult if we're this entity of thought, especially if we didn't even believe that we survived that physical death, and you wake up in this other realm. It can't be easy. It must be a learned trait to figure out how to communicate. Maybe they get help from others on the other side to teach them in a sense. Or maybe people, if they were in the physical and they were intuitive and they believed in these things, maybe that goes with them and they have an easier time. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that it's a learned trait, you know, to communicate? Might that be a reason why some people don't come through in readings?
I think it's a learned trait. If someone was a great communicator and charismatic and had a presence in their life while they were alive, it's much easier for them to communicate from the other side. And people who prayed and were really true in their faith and lived their life with integrity, they are able to communicate. It's like the praying set the way. Do you know what I mean?
So the way in which we live our physical lives, you would say, definitely affects our future existence.
I think so, from what I've seen. And we were just talking about this on the break, about the women who were devout Catholic, and they appear to me in a different way, always on the right side of my body. And the rosaries that they've done or the way that they've prayed, there's a feeling that comes with them. And a light and
so the information sacredness has a different feel to it.
A whole other door has opened.
Mm-hmm. What's on that, Tracy?
I would agree. Lee and I were talking on the break, and Catholic women, I don't have them on the right side, but the ones that are totally devout do come in a different way than other people. And, again, their practice is always of a holy, sacred sort on the other side.
What about other people that are devout, you know, Buddhists do you don't get the same feel? Or?
I don't know that I've ever had a devout Buddhist come up in a reading. So I don't know on that. But certainly, you know, people that have been churchgoers or if they've been spiritual and not religious, that will come out in the reading. As in, I'll say something to the effect of this person didn't go to church all the time, but gosh, they had faith that they were just certain and steadfast with. And that usually is on target. It's just that's more of just clairsentience for me, just a feeling than a symbol or something that shows itself.
Dave, what about the concept of that a lot of people have about maybe because of their religious training of a heavenly or a hellish type of experience where a deity is going to sit in judgment? I believe that we have self-judgment, and that's where it comes from. But what do you think on that subject? I mean, do you think that
there fear? Yeah. I mean, of the judgment, I think sometimes you experience what you believe, and that's sometimes whether, and it doesn't matter what religion, they'll see their characters of that religion or their deities of that religion. But they also will come to, you know, a universal thing, you know what I mean, as far as belief system. It's all, we're all one. It's all, there's no Catholic, there's no Mormon, there's no, you know, it's all one. So
you reach that perspective,
yeah,
once you cross.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I've seen different levels of soul can speak differently too. Like, it's kind of like their spirituality, I guess, in a sense, but their vibration, and if they were open to this kind of thing. But then I've also heard some people that were, I've done readings, and they totally were non-believers, and they've done very well in the reading. And I've even said, your father was not a believer, was he? And that he would be never come here. And they're like laughing, saying, yeah, no, he would never have came. But he's doing very well, speaking to me on the other side. So.
Well, that's interesting about, you know, you mentioned the different levels of souls. A lot of people believe that there are spheres. Some people even number them. There are 7 spheres, or there are 10 spheres, and you move from one sphere to the other. Each higher sphere has a different vibratory level, and the theory would be that it is possible for somebody in a higher level frequency to lower their vibration, so to speak, to visit the dense earthly realm, but it's a lot more difficult for somebody in a dense realm, you know, to move, you know, the other way. Is that something that you subscribe to? And if so, here's the real question. When you're doing readings, do you ever get the sense of somebody that may be on an elevated plane, something, a different feel than what you normally get? Anybody want to address that?
I have upon occasion, this is Tracy, and it doesn't happen real often, but I've seen that before. And I don't know why it happens or how it happens, but yes, I am aware of that.
I've had that happen occasionally as well, and it's a very different feeling. It
mm-hmm.
does feel like very grand and enormous love, and it changes me, it touches me, and I can, it's almost visible in the room, even if I'm on a phone reading.
And for me, it's very light, as in very bright, the
yep.
vision, whiter than white, golder than gold. And the sounds, to me, also are unique when we get to that point, because it's a cacophony of, like, I go to symphony. I love to listen to an orchestra warm up, and nobody's playing the same thing during a warm up, but it's beautiful. And to me, I've heard that times, I don't know how many, just this huge noise that just fills your body. And that's another sign to me that we're going somewhere else than the majority of the readings that I do.
It's interesting. A lot of the descriptions that I hear, especially from people that had near-death experiences,
yeah.
even though they say it's ineffable, when they try to describe it, they describe things like that, like people that have synesthesia describe a mixing. Flowers have sounds, you know,
mm-hmm.
colors, you know, can give off music. And that there's your sympathy and symphony. And you also said, Lee, that you felt light and a different vibration. It's love and compassion. So it makes sense. I mean, if it's all about love and compassion, you would move to different realms based upon light. Light is synonymous with love, and in a lot of circles, including physics, I think they're starting to learn that. So,
I have had some people tell me from the other side, Bob, that they have. I might be seeing them in a very earth-like setting, but they will give the message to their loved one that yes, they have seen. I've had people say they've seen Jesus. They have. Seen a dead pope that they have visited with, if you put a hierarchy in there, higher up the realm. And then there are some also that when I can't get in touch with somebody, there have been a few where my senses, again, this is linear thinking, which I'm somewhat trapped with, that this person is definitely there, but they're at a place that I cannot, for whatever reason, reach. They feel good, they feel wonderful, and people listening can't see. My hand is raised up into the air. It's as if they're up here rather than down here where I'm visiting now.
There are so many parallels that I see with the afterlife communication, and I think that we can learn a lot from the near-death experience. And I think that people, certainly in the near-death experience, if they believe in a religious figure and they see an entity of light, their conscious interpretation of that is going to be of their, you know, religious, you know, figure. And possibly it's the same way when we cross over. Maybe we interpret what we're seeing, you know, differently based upon our orientation.
Your filter.
Belief system. Yeah. A lot of people say that you can practice to die. You know, have you heard that term?
I'd agree with you.
Had a person I know that had a life out near-death experience, and she just was totally confused. She was in the hospital looking at everybody around, running around, going, "What's going on?" Didn't realize, like, I'm dying or I'm over there, but she knew she was there, but she was confused because she was over there and here, and talking to a dead person that was next to her, but just totally confused in her mind of what was going on. So no, you know, like, I'm with Jesus or God or anything, just in the hospital going, what's going on here?
I think someone's faith really plays into this, no matter what your beliefs are. The certainty of what you believe, and that's what the information can ride in on. The faith is important.
Oh, yeah.
I found Dr. Evan Alexander's book fascinating on near-death experiences, who will, of course, be a guest here this weekend. And as a medium reading his book, what his experiences were not strange to me at all, because they did, in fact, mirror many of the things I've seen on the other side almost verbatim. And it was really cool to read it from a scientist who was experimenting on the other side. He kind of jokes about that in the book. He didn't realize it until afterwards. But of his experiences in his NDE, fascinating.
Yeah, as he mentions, it was really a perfect storm of an NDE from a research perspective, because his neocortex was virtually, you know, destroyed by the bacterial meningitis.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you a conscious, you know, being. And the fact that he was a neurosurgeon, not believing in any of this stuff. And then, so it goes back to that period of confusion. I was always concerned about that. How could there not be a period of confusion? Because you're going through one door out one door and into another, and you're still existing, and it doesn't make any sense to you. Why can't people see you? Why can't people hear you? So there must be a period of adjustment, and maybe that goes back to this practicing to, you know, to die.
Not being afraid.
Not being afraid.
If they're really afraid, there's going to be resistance and confusion, but I think if people are feeling joyful about making this transition, it is going to be more effortless.
Or if they know they're going to pass.
Like
this person was killed, like, instantly. Didn't have a clue.
Right.
You know, like an accident or struck in the back of the head.
They're not prepared.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I almost always see, though, people that have died, they've been murdered, they've been died in an accident, something immediate they didn't expect, or someone who knew they were going to pass and were very afraid of it. My sense is that very, very quickly, this is the analogy I give clients, that very, very quickly they make that transition into this, wow, what is this? Where am I at? Sometimes somebody else, most of the time in the readings I do, somebody else that they love is meeting them, or a presence of something, someone that's feels loving to them, to where they feel safe, and that journey begins. I lost my thought on that. I'm sorry, but it happens quickly in the ones that I do.
The evidence surely points in the direction that we all have help when we cross over, that we are greeted by acquaintances or loved ones that help us with the transition. So that period of confusion, it's logical to me that it would be brief because we have people that help us. Do you think people have assigned tasks? You know, I mean, you might decide to be a compassionate social worker in the physical, and maybe there are people that have the same role in the next realm.
I think so. I think there are people who agree to be helpers as far as orienting new souls.
You think some people, I've read accounts where people describe in the channel literature where it's sort of like being in a hospital, like an afterlife hospital, where you have to recuperate from all your
waiting room
physical trauma. It takes a while to get rid of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
A common misconception seems to be that when we cross over and now with this entity in the afterlife, we're all knowing, you know, we're endowed with all of this intellectual knowledge that's limitless, and you know, we're sort of like deities ourselves. But I find that hard to swallow. It's people seem to be much like they were in the physical. I mean, what do you think?
I remembered my analogy that I was going to give you, and it goes along with what you're asking. To me, when the soul passes, it's almost as if it's like an adolescent that goes away to, or a teenager that goes away to college that's really excited about leaving home and going away. When the soul passes, it's as if, wow, I get to learn these things now. I get to experience this wonder now. And it's like total enthusiasm, totally being enmeshed in the other side and all of the wonder of it.
Do you... here's a question. A lot of people say, why is it important that I believe in an afterlife? I mean, is it important for people to believe in an afterlife?
I think so, just because it helps you understand how to live your life this lifetime, and I don't mean, you know, religiously, but just there is a continuation. There is going to be, you know, something, a consequence that we're not just dirt, and there is a reason for living. It gives you a purpose. It wants you to keep continuing, and it does promote goodness in people, I think.
Well, I mean, if you believe that there's, to me, it's only a belief is only beneficial in an afterlife if you believe that there are consequences to the way that you live in the physical. Otherwise, people would say, why not go out and rape and pillage? Because I'm going to just continue on. But if so you have to. It has to be. Joined with the firm belief that what you do is going to stay with you. I mean,
I feel like it's. I've had people come through many times who were atheists while they were here, but they were good. They were loving. They were generous. They cared about other people, and they lived lives of service. And they may not have believed that there was a God or an afterlife, but they reaped the benefits of it when they got there. Easy to communicate with, and a fairly evolved soul doesn't need to have that belief. I know if I hear someone say there is no God, and I start considering that, like, I get kind of depressed because I know it's, for me, it's not true. But I don't think it prevents you from...
I agree with that. And I've seen... people that have raped and pillaged and that have passed. And I have never seen what I would call hell in a reading. But again, it might be that I just don't see that realm. I don't know. But I have seen those people ascend to where everybody else does. And what they're doing might be a bit different in that they might be isolated. But always, I've seen somebody that was horrible living who was in almost an English countryside stone-walled prison with a little jail grate window looking out. It was beautiful. There were sheep and cattle and rolling hills. They had a table with a little gas lamp candle thing, and they were reading. They were totally isolated, taken away from everybody else, but nonetheless, they were well nourished. They were they looked healthy. So I've seen those folk too.
You mentioned before the term like old soul. A question a lot of people ask is if they had a young child that passed, maybe a 1-year-old or an infant. In their thinking, they can't imagine how that 6-month-old can communicate through a medium. How can that the child communicate through a medium? I mean, what would be your, anybody have any thoughts on that? I mean, you have, I'm assuming that you have communicated with young children?
I've communicated with, have you lost had a child that did not go full term, either aborted or miscarried, which I don't use those words. And because more often than not, I will see or sense that child that didn't even go full term, let alone young children. But how that happens, I don't know.
But they give you evidence?
Oh, yes.
Okay, right.
They'll say, for example, month of conception or month of the end of the pregnancy. They often will let me know a gender, which sometimes is known to the parent that's sitting with me, sometimes it's not. And when they give it, it's been on target.
And that's that spirit communicating, it's that soul. I mean, I have animals come through all the time
mm-hmm.
with all kinds of information, and they never spoke a word when they were here.
Mm-hmm.
The soul knows how to communicate.
How about you, David?
Well, there's no such thing as a baby soul, really. I mean, we're all, because they had to come from somewhere. I mean, your adult consciousness, before you came in, you were evolved before that. You came in as a baby. You still had consciousness in a whole life of lifetimes before that. So, you know, it's like they can communicate. But I see what you mean about evidence, like if they didn't have much experience here in this plane in that lifetime, there's not much to say to the parent. And I've had that where it's like that they're okay, that they did survive, they're on the other side and they want you to know they're okay. But there's not a whole bunch of stories to tell because there wasn't much experience, so I get what you're saying.
And they will thank the parent also for being part of their transition.
I've heard that too, and I've also had an infant who did not go full term thank the parent for not forcing them to
mm-hmm.
live out that life because they did not want to come through and have to live out that life, and the fact that the pregnancy was terminated was actually a blessing to that soul.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my personal belief. I'm not putting that in there. I'm just saying
mm-hmm.
what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also they can change their minds. A soul can change their minds and go, oh, it's like when you're planning your life too, you're planning all this stuff that you want to do, and then sometimes we get here and we go, what was I thinking? You know, why would I want all that karma, and why do I want to achieve all that?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to, but that's the free will part. But in maybe a baby's life goes, I'm going to, you know, solve all my karma in one lifetime, and then they get in the womb and go, oh, never mind, maybe I'll come back later.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's another mm-hmm. reason, you know.
Really don't
you know.
Like them that much.
Yeah. No, not that. It's the life experiences that they chose might be too big to do, and they can change their mind.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, it's kind of difficult from an evidence from your job as a medium, and if it's an old soul who may have lived many lives before, if they start giving you evidence from past lives, I mean, nobody's going to really be able to validate that for you. So we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking a lot more about the afterlife with Lee Ashley, Tracy Bray, and Dave Campbell. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guests tonight are Lee Ashley, Tracy Bray, and Dave Campbell. This show is sponsored by Starseed Gems Studios at starseedgems.com. And for our two-day conference attendees, Starseed Gems has added a very special gift to the conference goodie bags. And if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office once we're back online at 631-425-7707. And before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. Here at Forever Family Foundation, we're sending out a big thank you to our supportive listeners who have made possible this past year of bringing Signs of Life Radio to you. They know that even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do. And yet, we know that not everyone has extra income they can send along to support the continuation of our programming. So this is how easy it is to keep this radio show alive without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Then, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for, and there are more than 900 online stores like L.L. Bean, Red Envelope, 1-800-Flowers, or Yoga Accessories, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. 12-12-12, don't miss being in the right place on the most spiritual date of the year. 12-12-12 is a medium marathon featuring an evening of four extraordinary mediums at LIU CW Post University in Brookville, New York. Seats may be reserved via the website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org on the events page. Holidays Past this year will be in four locations: Natick, Massachusetts with medium Joanne Gerber, Pompton Lakes, New Jersey with medium Janet Nohavik, Bethel, Connecticut with Angelina Diana, and Melville, New York with star of Emmy-nominated TV show The Afterlife, medium Suzanne Northrup. Please visit the Forever Family Foundation website for dates. They are all Saturday nights in December, and to make your reservations. And lastly, the Holidays Past Raffle 2012. There are only 266 chances so far for five winners of five medium readings given by Amy Utzman, Tracy Lee Nash, Nancy Marlowe, Ginger Quinlan, and Eliza Ray. It's $5 a chance. There's only 266 chances sold. You do the math and then send in your donation to enter the raffle. Back to you, Bob.
And thank you for that. And I just want to quickly mention for all of you who may have been trying to call our offices over the past 2 weeks, we really don't have any. We're broadcasting this show from Phoenix, but we've had no phone service or electric or computers or heat or anything else for the past 2 weeks. So please have a little patience with us, and we are looking forward to getting back into communication with you. Speaking of communication, we are talking about the afterlife, and one subject that comes up a lot are spirit guides. You know, now I've read, you know, hundreds of channel reports and all of the mediums, especially the physical mediums of yesteryear, talk about their spirit guides. Do you have a spirit guide that assists you as you communicate with spirit? And can you identify that spirit guide? Tracy, let's start with you.
Well, there are certain spirit guides that come in for certain events. For example, there is one that comes in when fire has been an issue in someone's life. Either the person is a firefighter that has passed, that they have had a major fire that they've experienced at one time. So those are some things with that one. When the issue of romance and love is coming in, my nose itches. And my sense is that that is a spirit that is saying, excuse me, Tracy, we're going to go over to the romance department. So, yeah, I think there are different ones that come in for different things.
Lee, how about you?
I have different spirit guides, too. I identify them more when they're helping me in my own personal life. And I know they're there, and different ones show up and help with the readings. I always pray for that before reading, and they always come. But I sense the more specifically when they're helping me personally.
And I have two spirit guides that particularly help me with readings. I ask them to, every time I do a reading, to go and help assist the spirit on the other side to communicate with me, or to screen them kind of so I don't get any bad energies, which I never do. But, well, maybe that's why I never do, because I ask them not to. And so I always feel safe because of that. And I have a male guide and a female guide that do the reading work with me. Mm-hmm. And I know I have other guides, but they don't help in that area. It's just two that do the readings with me, and the others do other stuff like health or finance or whatever.
Yeah, and my prayer before I do readings, and actually it's something that goes through my head many times a day, is that any spirit that comes through in goodness, not only for the client and the family that are sitting there, but for me as well. Because I'm with Dave. I think that can be controlled. I do not have difficulty, and never am afraid when I'm reading. Quite the contrary, I've been afraid of a few clients that have, sincerely, that have sat in front of me.
I would imagine.
Yeah, but never the deceased.
Many people have seem to have communication through dreams. They have dream visits, which are clearly differentiated from regular dreams. They're more vivid. They're they're tactile. You can often hug your loved one or speak to your loved one or have a conversation of some sort or communicate telepathically. Do you dream? I mean, do you dream about loved ones, or does the spirit ever come to you in dreams and that turns out to be evidence for a reading that you're going to do at a future time or the next day? Anybody?
You're okay. Saying yes, I don't get it, but that's just me. I did, probably did younger, but I haven't for a long time, but I don't remember dreams right now.
You don't remember any of the dreams you have?
Not right now.
I have precognitive dreams specifically with air crashes. And do I get them for every air crash? No. But have I gotten them for some that have happened? Yes. And what I did with that was it was, of course, very disturbing and upsetting and survivor's guilt almost in a way for me, and that, gosh, perhaps if I had more information, there was something that I could have done. So in my prayer, I asked God and all helpers, if you're going to give me information, lay it on me, baby, and I'll do what I can with it, but otherwise leave me alone. And now when I have them, the last few that I've had have, in regards to commercial airlines, have been destination, origination, flight time, flight number, type of aircraft, and they always happen within 24 hours in advance of the occurrence. And now I do make a phone call or two or five, whatever I've got to do when I have those. They don't happen as often for me.
Can I send you my travel itinerary?
Many of my clients do. Yes.
Well, we know this to be true. Right now, I'm not allowed to go to Las Vegas because we were planning a conference in Las Vegas
last year.
And Fran had a precognitive dream, and we've learned to trust Fran's precognitive dreams that I died in a plane crash on the way. So we canceled the conference. Now, in any other business, how could you explain to somebody that you canceled the conference because of that? But people understood in this in this situation. So, but there's nothing preventing me from driving to Las Vegas. I figured that out. So maybe I'll fly into Phoenix first. But how about you, Lydia? Do you have precognitive?
I do have precognitive dreams, and there's different kinds of dreams, and there's times when I feel my spirit guide's actually there, or I feel someone who's passed really there with me. And I've once had a dream that was like a near-death experience, where I went to the other side, and I was over the moon, and then I was over the earth, and I knew everything. I understood how all physics worked, and colors equaled numbers, and everything made sense, and why people were starving, and why there was so much violence, and I didn't want to come back, and I woke up sobbing, because I didn't want to come back, and I was depressed for weeks after that, feeling that love. I don't know why I had that dream, but it transformed.
Sounds a lot like a near-death experience.
But I don't think I died. I mean, maybe I just
stopped
breathing or something, and I didn't know it. But but it was life-changing.
As somebody, the three of you, live mediumship. I mean, it's your profession and the way that you deal with life. Do you are you able to communicate with your own deceased loved ones?
Mm-hmm.
You are.
I am.
I've heard it both ways. Some mediums say that they're somehow blocked, but evidently all three of you can.
Yeah.
It's almost like they know they can come and talk to me so anytime. So it's not a big deal.
And that was my first connection that I recall at age 4 with a grandfather. Moments after he had passed at the hospital, I was at home from school for lunch from my daycare.
What advice would you give to people? I see we're running out of time, but quickly, do you have any closing advice that you might give to somebody that to help them to try to communicate with their own loved ones? If we could wrap that up in a couple of seconds,
I would say meditate. Meditate, prayer, ask for it, and then you have to wait. You can't just say, I wish somebody would talk to me and go run and do something else. You have to.
Meditation is the key.
Sit there and wait for the answer.
And I'd say trust the messages you think you're getting. Because if you think you're getting it, you are.
I would say consider making an offering to the spirit world with something physical. Say a prayer, and you might be offering tobacco or some flowers, but give a gift, to a physical gift to the spirit. Or maybe it's a song, which is sort of a physical gift, too.
And say thank you.
And
that's good
gratitude.
Good advice. And in closing, I just want you to give out your websites, Dave. Is theastrologystore.com. Theastrologystore.com is Dave Campbell. Lee Ashley is
TheAshley.com.
TheAshley.com and Tracy.
TracyBray.com.
That's TRACI.
Right.
TRACY.com.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of the recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Stanley Mullen, Julie B., Chase McKenna, Elizabeth McKenna, Glenna Irwin, who is having surgery today, Barbara Petillo, David Hayes, Rita Springer, CJ, Eileen LaFada, Mark Varon, Wendy Lippo, Vicki Steffi, Nancy Scheel, Barbara Russell, Diane Archangel, Paul Smith, Kay Torpey, Angelina Diana, Deb Martin, Tina Diana Jocelyn, Jerry Diana, and the DeLeon family. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's waters, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was taken by the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masuro Omoto back in 2010. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.